From Washington, this is the CQ Budget Podcast, your leading Capitol Hill source on how Congress allocates federal taxpayer dollars. And welcome back to the CQ Budget Podcast. I'm David Lerman, your budget tracker, and this promises to be a pivotal week for House Speaker Mike Johnson, who has struggled for months to find a winning formula that would unite his conference on aid for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. Johnson has been able to dodge the issue ever since the Senate in February passed a $95 billion aid package. His problem, of course, is many House Republicans are skeptical of more Ukraine aid, and they have vowed to oppose it unless there are new security measures attached for the U.S. southern border that many Democrats oppose. But Iran's direct assault on Israel this past weekend instantly changed the political dynamic. Johnson quickly vowed Sunday to pass an aid bill for Israel this week, but he left a key question unanswered, which is, would it include aid for Ukraine and Taiwan as well, or just be limited to Israel, and what other conditions might be attached? So we want to assess the options for the long-stalled National Security Supplemental Bill. And joining me for that conversation and whatever else may be on his mind is Peter Cohn, the managing editor of CQ Roll Call. Thanks for being here, Pete.
Thanks for having me, David. Well, but, you know, this is your show. I can't just free range and talk about whatever I want. Come on.
Oh, sure you can. If you've got a burning issue, we're happy to address it, as you know.
Oh, okay.
But Pete, let me start with this, because Johnson really does seem to find himself now between a rock and a hard place yet again, as he struggles to govern with this bare majority. And I suppose you can't blame him for treading cautiously here, because on the one hand, he knows Ukraine needs weapons fast, right? And he's getting tons of pressure now from the White House, from Democratic leaders, and from the Senate Republican leader, Mitch McConnell, on that, as well as from allies overseas. But on the other hand, he knows that bringing any Ukraine bill to the floor could trigger a motion from Georgia's Marjorie Taylor Greene to oust him from the speakership. So I think the big question here is there any way out of this box for him at this point?
Well, I think it's all the people that you mentioned, David, but I think it's also increasingly within the House Republican Conference, you're seeing more and more voices come out and say that they need to act on the supplemental as came out of the Senate, which includes money for Ukraine and Taiwan and Israel and rebuilding the U.S. submarine industrial base, things like that. I mean, there's a lot of things in there, and it also does not have any of the strings on the money for Israel that progressives now have been increasingly vocal about seeing in anything that they vote for. So I don't know necessarily even that the Senate bill could pass in its current form on the House side, assuming you need to pass it under suspension of the rules, which requires a two-thirds majority, because you are going to bleed more support from the Democratic side than you would have several weeks ago even. But on the other hand, you could make up for that with increasing voices. There was a delegation that was reported that went over to Ukraine among several House Republicans, came back. And you have Congressman Joe Wilson from South Carolina leading a letter this morning with Representative Josh Gottheimer, a Democrat, calling on the House to take up the Senate passed supplemental. Joe Wilson, everybody remembers him as the guy who shouted, "You lie," to President Obama back in, what was that, 2009, 2010, when he was doing his State of the Union. So, and he's also an armed services guy. So, you do have the national security hawks within the House Republican Conference who are getting more and more vocal about this, wanting to get something done. And don't forget, Mike Johnson is one of those. Mike Johnson was an armed services committee member during his tenure. He's got a lot of military in his district. He very much, I think, at his core, believes that Congress ought to be passing aid for the Ukrainians. He probably has, at this point, I'd venture to say he might have a majority of the majority for a bill that looks something like what came out of the Senate. Even before all of this stuff with Marjorie Taylor Greene came along, Johnson's MO and the MO of his predecessor, frankly, was, okay, we know we can get jammed by the Senate here. We know that bill probably is going to pass. It might be close, but it probably would pass. But how are we going to get a couple of wins for our troubles here? So we don't look like we're just getting jammed by the Senate. You know, they call it the Uniparty. You know, the Democrats and Republicans joining up to spend lots of taxpayer dollars, you know, hand over fist. It's this new, mantra that we've heard repeatedly. So in order to save face, we've got to get some wins. So Mike Johnson has been talking consistently about some things that, for example, former President Donald Trump has talked about, like turning a portion of the Ukraine economic aid into a loan similar to what members on both sides of the aisle tried to do many years ago with Iraq reconstruction money and got bipartisan majorities for, at least briefly. So, you know, this is not a new idea. So, you know, we think Mike Johnson would very, very likely include something like that in the bill. The money to seize Russian assets to pay for some of that aid. The Congressional Budget Office estimates probably there's at least $5 billion there that could offset some of the costs of this. LNG, liquefied natural gas, another one. So Johnson right now is in the position of, A, how do I get some wins so I'm not forced to just swallow what the Senate sent over? And B, what can I get done before the recess starts next week? And C, do I, you know, I guess I've got to look over my shoulder at what Marjorie Taylor Greene might or might not do. So, you know, I don't know what the answer is. Somewhere in that ball of wax, something will emerge this week. It may be something, it may be split in pieces. It may be they try Israel first. Maybe they put Taiwan in with Israel because that's got support kind of up and down the Republican side of the aisle. You know, but again, you need a rule for that. So can they get enough Republicans to support the rule to get that done? Because the Democrats aren't going to support that without the Ukraine aid attached to it. So, you know, that's kind of where we are.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be in his shoes. I mean, that's a tricky situation. He has talked about making part of Ukraine money a loan. He has talked about seizing Russian assets. He has talked about Biden's liquefied natural gas measure. Of course, then you've got the time crunch, because if he starts tweaking the Senate bill with all those things, it's got to go back to the Senate for another round of votes, and they're supposed to be out of here Thursday for a recess, right? I mean, that's going to be a problem on its own.
Yeah. Now, the only way anything gets to Biden's desk this week before the recess is the Senate bill. That's it. There's no other choice. So Johnson, I think his first move is going to be, as is fairly standard among Republican speakers with a slim majority, or even without a slim majority. You see what you can pass that has the support of a majority of your conference, and hopefully more than a majority, hopefully enough to pass where you only need a few Democrats or even zero. So, you know, what is it that Johnson can pass that has the support? So he's tried this before with Israel. He's tried, a slimmed down Israel-only aid package, and they couldn't get a roll because he was bleeding too much support on his own side. He had to put it up under suspension, and of course it didn't pass because they couldn't get two-thirds required support. So he's going to go into that conference meeting and say, okay, look, our only chance to get some wins here, some conservative policy wins, is for us to remain united and send a bill to the Senate that shows that we have something to negotiate. And barring that, they're left with nothing. And they're faced with leaving town at the end of this week, leaving their, you know, our allies Israel in the lurch. And of course, for many, Ukraine is equally, if not, you know, is almost equally as important. It's not as important.
Do you think there's any chance he just pushes an Israel-only bill, pushes it through the House, and just says, Senate, you got to pass this now, and we'll get to the rest later?
Yeah, or Israel plus, maybe there's a few other things he puts on it. Maybe, you know, maybe Taiwan money, maybe, you know, money for the submarines, maybe, you know, lifting the LNG export application pause, you know, this, that, and the other thing. There's things that he can do, but the question remains, can he get it through the House? And we don't know the answer to that because to date, the usual suspects from the Freedom Caucus, Marjorie Taylor Greene and others, have been no votes on even trying to pass a rule, adopt a rule, to get a bill through the House. So if you can't get a rule, then you have to go rely on the Democrats who are not going to support it. So that's where we are. Johnson's going to go into that conference meeting and he say, look, our only chance to get something that we want here, that we think would be a win we could take home, is for us to stay united. And so, you know, that's the question. Can he actually get this group of Republicans to stay united on something? And I think if you've watched over the last several weeks and months, if you were a betting person, the bet would be no. So if he cannot pass something in the House, then he has nothing to send to the Senate, whether it's for Israel or anybody else.
Right. But is it conceivable, Pete, that he could get a majority of his conference for an Israel bill and then get a majority of Democrats on board with that, too?
And on what planet do you think that's possible at this point? The Democrats have been consistent that they have to have Ukraine as part of this package.
Well, they have been consistent on that previously. I am wondering if the new attack on Israel this weekend changes that dynamic at all and makes them maybe amenable to this if that's all they can do this week.
Well, let's see if they can pass something first. You know, I mean, we've been here before. I mean, if they couldn't pass an Israel aid package, you know, right after October 7th, if they couldn't get that done, then I'm not sure how they get it done now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the problem is Ukraine is out there and they're running out of money fast. They're, you know, conscripting younger and younger soldiers into the war effort over there.
Right.
And, you know, they're running out of money. You know, they got this loan from Europeans, but that's for things like paying basic salaries and keeping the lights on. You know, so, I mean, there's a huge, and again, we've had all these members, increasing number of Republicans come back from Ukraine and say, look, Mr. Speaker, we've got to move on this thing now. So, yes, absolutely. There is a huge groundswell of support for the Israelis and getting an Israel aid package done. But you've seen the message from everybody, from President Biden to Chuck Schumer and Mitch McConnell, which is that if we need to get something done right now, I mean, keep in mind, they're gone after this week. Now, maybe they could cancel their recess and they could mess around with all the procedural motions and so forth that they have to do. But the Senate's got to do FISA this week, Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, Section 702, that expires at the end of the week. They're dealing with impeachment. You know, that may only take a day or two, but, you know, again, Johnson could somehow come up with a magic formula that gets 217 votes, whatever it is these days in the House, that is maybe an Israel plus package. It's conceivable that he could somehow cobble together a majority of, you know, maybe he gets 90% of the Republicans and maybe, you know, a handful of Democrats. I don't know. But that, where does that leave them? That means, you know, we're sitting here in the middle of the week. The House is supposed to be gone after Thursday. They maybe they're able to send something to the Senate by Thursday. And then what's the Senate going to do? You know, the Senate's going to cancel their recess.
They'd have to delay their recess. Yeah, I think they'd have to delay their recess.
They'd have to delay their recess. And for what? Their argument is they have passed a $95 billion package that takes care of all of these needs.
Right.
Without any of the, you know, the drama that we're starting to see more and more of over attaching strings to military aid to Israel. So, I mean, does the Senate want to get bogged back down into that fight? Are they going to be able to get through that before their scheduled recess? You know, these are all, you know, if you're the Israeli government, if you're the Ukrainian government, you're thinking to yourself, there is only one answer right now, and that's the Senate pass bill.
And it did seem to me as though some of the more establishment types in the House Republican Conference do want a broad aid package, not an Israel-only package. You had folks like House Foreign Affairs Chairman Mike McCaul, the House Intelligence Chairman Mike Turner over the weekend, both saying that they thought they would see a Ukraine and Israel and Taiwan package come together this week. Now, they weren't saying specifically it'll be the Senate bill. They seem to want changes to it along the lines of what Johnson was spelling out with making Ukraine a loan and seizing the Russian assets. They said they'd want to amend that bill to include those items, which does complicate this yet again.
The one surefire way to ensure that any aid flows before the congressional recess is to pass a Senate bill. Any other option poses the risk of substantial delays, possibly until after the recess.
And yet if he does the Senate bill, he knows that he's set up for a motion to vacate, and he sort of loses face here because he had said the Senate bill was dead on arrival in the House. So he has to do a 180 and cave on that and take up the Senate bill as is, which makes him look weak, I think. And then Marjorie Taylor Greene comes in with her motion to vacate, presumably. She hasn't promised when she'd do it, but you would think that would trigger.
But how many times have we been here before? How many times? Let's go through the list. I don't think we have time to go through the list here. The thing is, if the House Republicans cannot pass something, then what? David, you tell me, what is the answer at that point? I'll be the podcast host for a second here. If the House Republicans cannot pass something, then what?
Well, they have to pass something, otherwise.
Then they go back to Appliance Week.
If they can't pass anything, then there's no aid for anybody. I mean, that's how it is. I mean, that,
right. Well, the answer at that point starts to look better if you want to bring up the Senate pass bill, because then the alternative is you go home with nothing, and Israel gets nothing, and you go out on vacation for a week. So that's the alternative here. If Johnson. If he's facing all these threats, Marjorie Taylor Greene is going to do this, that, and the other thing. But at the end of the day, if he cannot pass what they want, then there is no other recourse. Then you're left with either nothing or the Senate bill. And so, that becomes the choice. Do I do nothing or do I take up the Senate bill? I don't know the answer to that. It's quite possible that Mike Johnson might say, well, look, I'd rather not deal with a motion to vacate, so I'm going to do nothing. Sure. I mean, that's an option.
Which is making me think that maybe he floats an alternative bill first, and if that dies, as it could, then he says, well, we have no choice but to take up the Senate bill and bring that to the floor.
Yes. I mean, that's the only thing that Johnson, that's his first move. That's what he has to do. He has to go to the conference and say, what is it that you will all support? What is the House Republican alternative that not only a few of you in this room like, but can get 217 votes? That's what he has to do. If he can't pass something, then he's left with nothing, or the Senate bill. That's it. You either have the Senate bill, you have nothing, or you have an alternative that can pass the House. So that's what he's faced with, and so. You've watched the House over the last few months, just as I have. Is there an alternative that can get 217 votes, either just on the Republican side or with enough Democrats on board?
That's the $64,000 question, and I don't know.
The problem solvers offered their bill. It's got, I think, 16, 17 signatures on a discharge petition? Not even close to enough.
Yeah.
What they need, That's where we are.
Yeah, that was an alternative that also included border security measures.
Yeah, Johnson absolutely, and his leader absolutely 100% wants to come up with an alternative to the Senate bill that can pass the House. So what is that? Is it Israel only? Is it Israel plus? Is it Israel plus Taiwan and Ukraine, but with those tweaks, like making it into a loan? I don't know. None of us know what permutations Johnson could come up with that would get 217 votes in the House. That's a $64 billion question.
Yeah.
And so, but that's it. That is the only answer here. Otherwise, the options are nothing or the Senate bill.
It's an ugly choice. And as we tape on Monday, it is far from clear how this shakes out, if it shakes out this week. But we will be watching closely and see if Johnson can yet again escape from the box that he's under, just as he did with appropriations, finally getting them passed last month.
We all remember Kevin McCarthy, and we remember what happened when he went for months, tried to sell his conference on a conservative stopgap funding measure that would have policy wins that they all said they wanted, right? You remember that, David?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And you remember what happened? He tried to put it on the floor. And he could not get the votes on his own side for it. Right. So his option was do nothing, let the government shut down, or pass just a, you know, a straight extension basically of current law, so the military could still would still get paid.
And he lost his job for it.
And he lost his job for it, right. So if you're Mike Johnson,
and that's the question here. So Johnson loses his job if he finally puts up this aid package.
Or is he willing to risk it? Is he willing to roll the dice? You know, McCarthy was really willing to roll the dice. Johnson, I think, has more support in the conference than McCarthy did. So he could maybe his calculation would be, look, I'm going to go in this week. I'm going to do everything I possibly can to pass a conservative bill that has the support of my conference, and they can get 217 votes in the House. Barring that, I'm going to roll the dice. I'm going to put the Senate bill on the floor, and I'm going to risk my job. And maybe things come out differently for me than it did for McCarthy. Maybe the conference doesn't want to go through that whole drama again, which chewed up the entire month of October, where they got nothing done and looked ridiculous. So, you know, if maybe that could be what Mike Johnson is thinking right now, or he might be thinking, well, I can't risk it. And none of us can know. Only Mike Johnson knows the answer to that. And so this week we may find out.
The ball is in his court. It is an ugly choice, and we will be watching closely what he decides to do. But that's all the time we have for now. If you like what you heard here, you should subscribe to the CQ Budget newsletter, which hits your inbox every morning that Congress is in session. You can find that at cq.com. You can find all of our budget coverage at cq.com or rollcall.com. Thanks again to Peter Cohn for joining me. Thanks, Pete.
Always a pleasure, David. Thanks for having me.
And thank you all for listening. I'm David Lerman, your budget tracker. We'll see you next time.